Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I was mad at, he had a sense. The ears were back, and I said, I'm okay. I'm okay. And he comes up and he gently licks me.
Aww.
And he's no, he licked the peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, as he's been trained to do.
No, that's disgusting. That is such
a
gross
joke. You know what time it is.
I'm sorry.
Just a day with a movie star.
Paul says, and I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines, like, I'm not signing autographs today. I'm sorry. Like something just like very
dismissive.
And Chris Rock is right next to me. He goes, damn, that was stone cold. She shut you down. You must be embarrassed. Like aloud, like so over the top.
Just having fun with
grilling
it.
Grilling him.
That's great.
Where he was like, I could have meekly walked away, but Chris Rock's right there and he's not going to let it go.
Did they go to the studio with a blank sheet of paper?
Yeah, they all brought ideas. There's one really funny moment when they're starting to realize what a daunting task it is. And Paul says to John, he says, did you write anything last night? And John takes his pointer finger and goes, no.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Greetings, everyone. I realize that we were discussing our holiday weekends yesterday, coming after the Thanksgiving weekend, but we've had a very difficult time. Rob, I'm going to give you an idea I had about my injury yesterday, because we joked about it after I was mauled on my own sofa here in the home.
Right.
I thought it might be fun to come in and do a playlet where I tried to fake everybody out and say, it's kind of been really rough in the O'Mara household, and there are a lot of things that I tolerate, but one thing I can't tolerate is physical violence.
Right.
I don't care for it, and, you know, you can pick on me all you want, but a woman who's going to really hurt me, and then you were going to say something, well, how was your Thanksgiving weekend? And I was going to turn to you, and I was going to go,
oh, my God. You have a Frankenstein-like scar on your face.
I know where that's from. I already know.
It comes from love, right?
Well, Mike, you have been pretty grumpy lately.
Fussy boy.
You've said that for well over 13 years.
Eventually, that has consequences.
Or 12 years.
Yeah. This is true.
Yeah.
But, you know, if she didn't love you.
No. I think it's a he.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is a he.
Yeah.
Winslow, my wife seems to feel that grooming these dogs in the nail department, which is her area, is something where you can just naturally let them turn into a grizzly. And Winslow
in days
leads
of old, when they would roam, you know, they'd wear down themselves. But what they need is what I like to call, Mike, a pedicure.
Rob, all dogs are descendants from gray wolves. I don't know if
exactly.
you knew that,
but
it's true. And look, Winslow leads with his paws. And yesterday, because we've got a lot of visitors here, I jump on the couch and I said, hello, Winslow. And then I'm just having fun with him. And he rakes me just straight across. And this is on the heels of, one dog inflicted the pain. One dog was the recipient of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie.
Oh, so Frankie plays into this as well, the Chihuahua.
Well, I'm using a fine sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm using my Theragun right here on the crick of my neck. And thank you.
Well done.
You very much.
What a great sponsor.
And,
my daughter
is on the far end of the couch. And I can't see that Frankie is lying down enjoying a little nappy poo when Catherine says to me, oh, can I try that? I said, yeah, you're going to love it. It's fantastic. And I toss, thinking it would bounce softly on the couch, I toss the Theragun to my daughter, and apparently the Theragun lands squarely on Frankie. I've sung the praises of the Theragun, but one of the things I probably have never said in one of their commercials is the thing packs a little weight.
Yeah, it's a solid
piece of equipment. And
I dropped mine from the passenger seat of the Volvo to the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the thud. I thought it was curtains. Still rocking.
Yeah.
Still rocking.
And, And really, the weight would take a chip out of the concrete because it's
yes.
it's that heavy.
Yes. Crumbling
and
infrastructure.
And I hear, Kirk! And Frankie is walking across the living room floor, shaking his head, doing this.
Yeah.
Did you think maybe? Did you think maybe it was the end?
No, but he's so tiny,
right?
You know, he's the he's basically the protocol. Weight. He's the weight of a really hefty Honeycrisp apple.
Great parallel.
And you look at him, and he's sliding across the floor, shaking his head like he's, you know, in the 14th round with Tyson.
Yes.
And then later on, someone was screaming. Frankie was yelling at the door, and I held him because I was outside on the patio, and I had him in there, and I'm holding him tight. I said, "Don't you do it? Don't you do it?" And I put him down, and all of a sudden, Frankie starts walking like this.
Yeah.
Oh. And everybody immediately jumped on me and said, "You've killed the dog. You've maimed the dog." I said, "There is no way I was squeezing him and
did
doing
that."
Did they
give the impression that it might have been a premeditated murder? Like,
I bitch about Frankie more than any animal in the house, and so I do this. So the dogs have been play a large factor in this holiday weekend that we've had with family around. It's been a peaceful, conflict-free holiday that was punctuated by a couple of incidents with dogs. And this thing right here, yesterday, this right after the show, I was a bleeder. It was
That
really does look similar to, you know, for example, if I was a suspect in a series of purse snatchings and one of the ladies was to fight back, I'd probably be brought into the lineup with this
thing.
Well, they
can certainly find DNA from that wound on.
Yes.
Yeah, just scrape the dog's nail.
Do you have to be seen in public at all outside of this forum? Like friends
later the week, later in the week. Yeah,
let's,
I mean,
let's get some Neosporin on that.
I put the Bactine on it, and then I put the alcohol, isopropyl alcohol, and I never put a Band-Aid on it, so it never got. It was that superficial. But you know,
grow the beard.
Carla likes to say this. She said, "Man, this is taking a long time to heal," and she goes, "Pre diabetes. Everything is pre diabetes for her. You
she's
know, it's just
fun."
Like, something about, well, they have, you know, old people take longer to heal now,
thin skin.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I hope I'm not there yet. No, and I'm also not medicated, you know, I don't take drugs like some of these people take.
Like a thinner, you know, a blood thinner.
Well, you see sometimes, unfortunately, you see old people that have paper thin skin. My father had it. It was sad.
Yeah.
It was very sad, but I'm not there. I'm not there. But when I get like a fire ant bite, it's like 2 months. It's just living down here is getting to be difficult. Now we've got the big giant iguanas that are taking over down here, for Christ's sake. It's crazy.
I don't like having to explain wounds that look like they could be of a domestic dispute.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Well, I could use the show makeup.
Yeah, or you could put a big Band-Aid on it and said I had a mole removed.
A precancerous
Oscar,
mole.
Oscar uses this. It's called concealer.
I do. No, I use matting cream for those of you that don't matting.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go. Oh, look.
Oh, you know, Mike, now that your headphones are off, it's even bigger.
These are like one of
those. Did I do that like Norma Desmond?
Just like a makeup tutorial on YouTube.
This should be on TikTok.
Internet.
It's alive.
Bitcoin.
It's alive.
You really can't do this with a camera. You really can't.
You need a mirror. You need your mirror.
If you blend it in, you got something going for you.
What you need, Mike, is your big lighted mirror that has all the light bulbs around it. The one that you have in your bedroom.
Like your
in my dressing
room.
Your
diva mirror.
Yeah.
Well, people should know my routine.
Your morning mirror.
Every single routine, I get up very early and I take off my face wraps that I have for chin, cheeks, and I undo those.
Made out of kale.
Followed by I go to my closet and I put piping hot water on my face and scrub my hands.
Right.
And then I get my mineral water that I pour over a very large bowl of ice cubes. And then I dip my face.
I thought you used one large block of ice that you attacked with a pick.
No, it's ice that's brought up from the housekeeper.
Dry ice.
From the dungeon. And I dip my face in that. We watch Mommy Dearest with the kids over the holiday.
Is that when you get into your shower, Mike, that has four nozzles?
Four different nozzles, spigots. coming at me, and then I wrap my head in a scarf. And
your neighbor, you know, Steve Forrest, comes over.
He comes over, yeah. Just an afternoon with a star. I'm going to bang you good, Joan.
You lost again.
By the way, wonderful holiday fair. Got a, maybe a couple of weird looks from the boyfriends that that I was sort of showing this. I said, we're going to watch Mommy Dearest now. And there was a little alcohol flowing.
Sure.
I said, this is a really great comedy.
Coming of
this
age.
This is a really, really great comedy, which it is. It makes me laugh from the very beginning. And I got, you know, some people, I guess, that aren't conditioned to know what Mommy Dearest is, look at me like I might be a little nuts that I'm laughing
well,
so hard
did I tell
at
you,
this comedy.
I think,
still a great movie.
I think I did. Over the summer, it was on, like, Lifetime, which always lands on some place like Lifetime. And Carrie and I put it on, and she's in her phone, and I'm doing something in the kitchen. And we're bouncing lines back and forth like we have the movie in front of us.
That's
like,
fun.
We have the script in front of us. And Julia says, this movie isn't very good, and yet you all know it by heart. And I said, because you need to watch it in the right frame of mind.
It's a cult classic.
Yeah,
it is. I will say this, that also when you love a movie, and we get – a lot of people get a hard time for how can you watch a movie 50 times. You can watch a movie 50 times if, A, you love cinema,
right,
and, B, a movie can give you something that you've seen 50 times that you never picked up on before because you're watching for different stuff. And sometimes they can be big, sometimes they can be small. For Mommy Dearest this time around, it was the young Christina, the actress who was it was pointed out to me because I've got my oldest daughter and her boyfriend are both actors.
Right.
And he pointed out she's really good. She's really talented.
She is
because
good.
He has done theater on Broadway as a child actor.
Actors are a really rare
what
commodity.
Plays?
Yeah. Oh, God.
He played Annie?
No, he played Tiny Tim.
Really?
At Madison Square Garden.
Holy
wow.
A Christmas Carol. The performance,
Jesus.
16 shows a day. 16 shows.
My
a
God.
A day. Wow.
Yeah, a week. A week. I'm sorry. 16 shows a week.
I was going to say. What was
16 shows a day would be a. This was really hard. I'm sorry.
Child acting
he finished
world,
up and he really was crippled.
But anyway, you're over Manja. You're
when he gets excited, that's what happens.
Because I think is that what happens?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It
just
Broadway.
Was pinging the meter.
Yeah.
So the girl, the young girl in Mommy Dearest, is really, really talented, and it was fun. It was fun to watch. But you know, I haven't had that much chaos in my house other than the animals. And then when I was holding Frankie apparently too tightly because he was barking at somebody at the door, he limped for about 10 minutes, and I was like,
he was
immediately
playing it up.
Dad, what? Well, I don't know. But it looked at one point like his his little right paw wasn't functioning the right way. Like it might have been a dislocation of some kind. And I was like, Dad, what did you do? And then within 5 minutes, he jumped off the couch and he was 100% again.
Back.
But I don't know what I did.
What
you know, he's also old.
What you described to me, I can picture very clearly as a three-legged dog walking, carrying a rabbit's foot.
Yeah, because dogs can easily just pick up their one paw and hobble along.
Yeah, sure.
It was, it's fine. Everything is just
what
fine.
About,
fine.
What about Winston? Is he okay?
Winslow?
I'm sorry, Winslow. Winston.
Winslow's fine. Winslow's just strong and leads with his paws and gets super excited because he's still a puppy. And he's a delight to be around.
But did he he drew blood?
I was mad at him. Yeah, he had a sense. The ears were back. And I said, I'm okay. And he comes up and he gently licks me.
Aww.
And he's
does
really,
he
really...
Blood?
No, he licked the peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. As he's been
no,
trained to do.
No, that's disgusting. That is such
you
a gross
joke. You know
what
time joke. It is.
I'm sorry.
Just a day with a movie star.
It's just a day. I'm bigger. I'm stronger. I will always... I'm bigger and I'm faster. I will always beat you. But I'm not going to play with you again.
Ever.
Ever.
Quitter.
Yes, sir. Louis, will you walk me to my car?
We'll part as friends, Joan.
Yeah, he's just
so great.
That's the look.
So funny.
That's Howard Da Silva as Louis B. Mayer. So anywho,
you saw him on Broadway.
I saw him in 1776. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Yeah, and I saw Topol in Fiddler on the Roof. I believe. It's too long ago. I don't know. But I think I saw him in that particular role.
And you saw
on
George
Broadway,
M. Cohan in Little Johnny Jones.
I did. Saw Jimmy Cagney. Saw all the greats.
All the greats.
I'm trying to think who was the female singer with the Fanny Bryce.
She was wonderful. Yes.
She was terrific. I saw her back in the day. We're talking.
He saw
we're turning into Broadway
and
queens.
And
now.
Yeah, it was
I'm
wonderful.
Following. Not
yeah.
at all.
Sure.
But I smile.
It's very, very exciting. Just absolutely tremendously exciting.
Funny girl and funny lady.
What I did want to share with our listeners, I know, Rob, you've got a reco, but we're watching with Elizabeth's back home. So she left on Saturday morning, I believe they left. And now I've got my other daughter who will be leaving today. It's going to be a sad house.
Aww.
I know my son is going to be really, really sad as they head on out. It's going to be a little bit of a drag for the family because it's been a blast. Absolute
I know
slice of heaven
it.
Having them all
you
around.
You love it, but I think your son probably is the most excited of all,
I was
right?
mine, and he was already talking about it as I was driving him to school today, and it's a drag for him. But we got after he went to bed last night, we got a recommendation. You guys, this is a late to the party again.
All right,
but I have to tell you, I am all in. I could have binged it till 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a show. I think originally it airs on the History Channel. I'm binging it on Netflix. It's called Alone. And it is the reality show of reality shows. It is what I believed Survivor should have been and what I expected it would be way back when Survivor started.
Okay.
When I heard the premise of Survivor, I kind of thought it was really going to be people thrown into an inhospitable environment
yes.
and asked to survive and last man standing kind of thing, which it never ended up being at all
mm-hmm.
with voting people off. And it was more of a narcissist dream
sure.
with some crazy let's make a deal puzzle games. That's really what I think Survivor is. For those of you that love it, like my wife, I'm sorry if I offend you with that, but this show Alone, and I'm watching, I believe, season 7 right now.
Correct. It's been on since 2015. Depressed. I've never seen it, Mike, so you're breaking
it
for me. It is. Hardcore survivalists seek to stay alive in extreme locations around the world.
Wow.
That's what
and
the
they are
is.
In...
Are they naked?
Up near, it's not Naked and Afraid.
Oh, okay.
They are up near the Arctic Circle. And here is the premise. This is what makes it so wonderful. They drop them into an area where they each have a grid, a five square mile grid to survive on.
Okay.
And they have to last not a month, they have to last 100 days.
Oh.
With
no
very little, some fire starting stuff, but very little. They have to live off the land. Like immediately, there is no food whatsoever. They drop them in there, and I look over at my daughter, and I say, well, of course, they're alone, except for the camera crew. And she says, no, Dad, they have GoPros. There are no camera crews. They are on their own. So the footage you see of them, and you can tell when you start watching the show, is actual footage of them alone. And I'm talking about real life wilderness encounters that where they come up over a rise and there's a wolverine there, or they run into a bear, or he's in his tent at night and he can hear where he was cooking, boiling some fish heads down by the beach. You hear clank, clank as the bears are rifling through this and the animals. And you realize that when you're out there in this wilderness and you're trying to find food, mm-hmm. that there are other critters that want the same food that you do. It is, I am telling you, the personalities of these people, these are the real deal survival people, because most of them have the skill sets of being outdoorsmen and people that have lived off the grid. It is fan. These
Does
people
every
are
episode
fun to watch.
Focus on one person, or are there several contestants concurrently?
Every episode focuses, I believe there are 10 that start originally.
10?
And none of them, 10. 10 people. And these people are not aware in any way, shape, or form of what the other 9 are doing. So they don't know. They don't know from one moment to the next who's gay. But their goal, and they all say this, most of them, is that they have to last 100 days.
Wow.
And they are dropped off, I believe, in mid-fall to late fall up near the Arctic Circle in that area of Canada. And they are expected to, they have an emergency phone that can only be used when they want to, as they call it, tap out.
Okay, that's what I'm going to ask.
It is the real deal. And it's people what I like the most is not only are you watching all of their different adventures, but you're getting skills by looking at them going, wow, that's how they do that. That's how they, and you see the people that are excelling, and then you see the people that,
who
I think
fails?
4 days.
How do they
fail? One guy failed after 4 days.
What happened?
One guy, I'm trying to think of whether
dog
it was
scratched
a knee.
His face.
It might have been a knee injury.
Oh.
It might have been a, oh, no. The first guy that failed was out, and you see him, and he comes, and they come across anything, because there have been people that have been hunting and fishing in these areas.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not so remote that it doesn't, that they can't stumble upon something man-made. He stumbles upon like this beat up half a boat that
okay.
was under some spruce limbs and stuff. And he ends up starting a fire under this aluminum boat and bringing water up from the beach to have his own little hot tub.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he's like, he's chilling out. He's kind of a kook.
Yeah,
sure.
But on his way back, he loses his fire starter, his metal device. And he says, he walks the trail twice, this long trail, can't find it, taps out. Says,
damn.
Calls the guy, said, I could go, but it's just not going to, the end result is going to be the same. I can't survive without fire, and I don't have the calories and the energy to make friction fire out of, a la the Tom Hanks way.
Because he was so relaxed in that hot tub?
It's
doughy soft.
The hot tub was misguided, obviously.
Yeah.
Should be finding food and building shelter and stuff, but he didn't do that.
Did he have sort of like a show busy vibe, like he was going to be a star because he had a hot tub and he's on this show?
No.
Okay.
No, there's not a show busy bone in any of these people.
No, Richard
there might
Hatches.
Be one or two guys that do the self-promotion thing a little more about how tough they are.
Right.
But overall, these are, especially this one woman, I forgot what her name is, but just an amazingly outdoorsy woman. And you look at her husband and her, and she's pretty, but she is absolutely
first
pure
name,
muscle.
First
and
name Timber, last name Tina.
Timber Tina might be able to pull it off, but I can't recommend it highly enough. If you like that kind of thing, please go check it out. It's called Alone.
Speaking of reality shows, one that I know you should avoid, Mike, is called The Beatles Get Back.
Yes.
The Beatles documentary that you were posting all over social media about that.
I adore it, but it is so Beatly that if you are not an intense fan, it's going to drive you away. It is. I love the notion of seeing them at work and seeing all the stuff that went on, but it is 8 hours spread over 3 episodes. It's a lot. And there are moments that are really quite magical. And I think for a casual fan or someone that you would want to convert to a Beatles fan, if you turned it into maybe a 3-hour thing, you'd have something. Now, for me, it's ideal. Because I love watching the stuff just happen in real time.
Well, and I was intrigued by the documentary that they had this footage that they were going to do. Just to
it's
see them
beautiful
creating
and
would be interesting.
The sound is amazing. But there's footage. My dad called and he says, I don't need to see Ringo yawn again. I don't need to see it. Because there are long stretches like that. So if you are not an intense Beatles fan, I don't think it's going to be your cup of tea. But there are parts of it that are amazing. Like you actually get to watch Paul sit down and write Get Back. He starts with like one lead line and writes
Get
it.
Back.
Yeah, it's amazing. But
does it vindicate Yoko? I read an article that it vindicates Yoko.
So I saw
this
that too.
Is,
yeah.
This is something very interesting is that Yoko comes off as good as anybody in this documentary. And she does her singing. She yowls and screams. But what you don't realize is that when she's doing that stuff that she's had fun made of her, her entire time that she's been in the collective consciousness, Beatles are supporting her. They're playing while she's singing. They're just having a jam and goofing around. They treat it the same way like when Linda Eastman brings her young daughter in and she sings
a song. That's Paul's
girlfriend. It'll eventually be Linda McCartney. But she
was that her? Was the daughter his?
No. The daughter was hers before she met Paul. And so the daughter comes
two
in.
Two or one.
That's not Stella McCartney, right?
No. I don't think it is. No, it's not. But
you got to be an expert. If you're an expert, you should know that answer.
No, everybody knows.
But she
had
is
one leg.
She is part. That's a different one.
Peggy.
Oh.
But I think. But Yoko seems friendly and with talking to everybody, and she's singing along. And I thought she came off really well. The thing that I came away from this documentary that I never thought before is I think that Paul broke up the Beatles.
Oh, no ass.
Yeah, because
would, you, would you like to that, now that is a bombshell, Rob. Would you like to offer?
Thank you for pretending to care.
You always heard it was so, Yoko.
Yeah, he is so bossy and such a micromanager. Mm. The end of episode one is probably the greatest moment of these three parts because they have audio tape of George quitting the band. He just says,
"Let me stop you right there because you're going a mile a minute here."
All right, right.
Does Paul come off as a dick? In the documentary.
He does at times. Everyone does at times. He also at times appears very sad that the band is dissolving. There's a shot of him actually with a tear in his eye. But that doesn't stop him from telling everybody what to do all the time.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
We all know teams, like different teams in show business.
Okay, yeah.
And they're usually someone that propels the team forward because they need some sort of guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where I feel like, yeah, that person's probably a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other times where I'm like, well, if that person, woman or man, did not push them, then they never would have done any of this.
Well, the narrative that I seem to believe, and a lot of people seem to do this, is they lost their manager in 1967. He died, Brian mm-hmm. Epstein. And he was
the glue.
He was the driving force. And when he died, I think Paul, whether or not he wanted to, fell into that role and made some bad decisions for the band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, he was, you know, they were really, really cohesive as they became mm-hmm. the phenomenon that they did. They were equal partners and all of that. But when Paul sort of seized the reins, I think there was an underlying tension because of that. Now, George,
I'm going to surprise you.
Of course. Okay.
I'm going to surprise you that I was and have been intrigued by watching this just because of the behind the scenes nature of it. And whether you are a super fan of the Beatles or you're somebody who grew up with them like me, I'm interested to see the creative juices flowing behind, but you're saying it's just too much, and a lot of just meandering footage that they think they can get away with stretching out because it's the Beatles and they're on camera.
I don't know if he thinks he's getting away with anything. I think what he's doing, Peter Jackson is the director, I think he feels he's preserving the process of all of this film that a lot of people never knew existed.
I know a lot about one thing, and that's radio. But I also know a little bit about documentary filmmaking, and I think that when you offer up a subject that's interesting to people, like the Beatles, I think you can get away with a lot. You can get away with a lot. I want to see the behind-the-scenes stuff where they leave the camera on somebody.
Yeah.
I don't need to have... One of the things, and going back to it again, and I'm raving about it because it's worth raving about, this show alone, is... You don't see great shots every time. You don't see the perfect kill shot when they're hunting for food because you can't, because they're wearing GoPros.
Because it's real.
I love that. And Oscar, who said to us many, many moons ago about this reality television process, is that it's not really reality at all. It's a completely created circumstance. And I feel that way about documentary film as well. So if you're rolling on Ringo, just sitting there picking his nose, I feel like I've got a keyhole that I'm looking through, and I'm looking at things that I might not get to see.
Does he flick his fingers or does he roll them up? You know?
Of all the Beatles, he has the best nose for picking.
Nice.
Mike, you will love the fact that the camera crew at the front of this actually feels intrusive to them. And that is a weird dynamic because there's so little footage of them creating.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually very little footage of them performing if you go deep down into it, because it wasn't the era where they filmed and taped everything.
Yeah, it was prior to the music video.
You know, I hear this all the time about the Beatles, but they're everywhere.
How do you mean?
Like, I'm actually intrigued by this. For a band that is so well documented in history for changing rock and roll, mm-hmm. right? For them being so synonymous with music and the Beatles and being the British invasion, the same clips, to your point, are shown to us in like on a loop, right?
Exactly.
Of them on the
that's a good point.
And no one like they don't wane. They're not like tired of it. It's the same thing over and over again. Now, if it was TMZ days,
oh, it'd be everywhere. That's the point of the Ron Howard documentary.
You'd see John smoking a doobie somewhere. Yeah. I mean, that would be the way. Speaking of that, do you see any evidence of, because this was made during their
January
kind of
69 when they were doing, it's really
they're only doing a lot 40, of drugs back then, right?
All I took away from this is they smoked a lot of cigarettes and cigars. That's what
okay.
I saw. That's
all
what
right.
I
so
saw.
There's a lot of smoking
no
going
of
on. Any like Jack Daniels up on the counter or
beer
stuff
and
like
wine,
that?
A lot of beer. I like one point when they're in the session and George eats a lot. He's almost like Brad Pitt in the Ocean's 11 movie.
Skinny George Harrison eats a lot.
One point he comes in and he says, "Sorry, I'm late. I just had to stop for breakfast." And it's just, yeah, he's eating a lot, and then there's a lot of wine.
But obviously something you were put off by this on a certain level.
What about Band-Aids?
I thought...
Any Band-Aids?
I didn't see any Band-Aids. I thought that I loved it, but I thought while I was watching it, this is not for everybody. This is not a mainstream release.
Yeah, but was it a darker side of the Beatles, like a more raw side of the Beatles?
It's not as dark as the original movie that the footage was shot to put together to be. There was a movie called Let It Be that came out that is really all about the band breaking up, and it's sad. This has large amounts of happiness to it.
No.
And it's very fun when they're performing. It's magical
when
they're performing.
Why did they break up so fast? Well, I mean, I guess was it a sense of... creative differences? Was it a sense of it was too much pressure on them because there weren't that many people, not like today where you can be famous for, you know, farting in a computer aisle.
Auto-tune.
But back then, you know, there weren't many people where all eyes were on them and that they were the Beatles. Was that what it was?
There was a lot of that. There was also a very, very divisive business interests that wanted to go in two different ways.
Paul
wanted to go with Linda's family to manage the band. And John wanted to go with George, Alan Klein, to manage the band, who was more of a cutthroat shark type. He was handling the Stones at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was that going on. There was personality. And also, I think they were burned out. They just wanted to be kind of apart. And there's the whole...
It was a short period of time, but it was intense.
Very
it was intense.
And you can see it, like, they... When they're rehearsing, they needed 14 songs in 14 days, essentially, to make this album. That was sort of the challenge they put in front of them.
Mm.
14 songs in 14 days?
Yeah, they wanted to
recorded?
Do that. Yeah. And
14 songs written and recorded?
Performed live. That was the initial thought that they wanted to do.
So were there, did they go to the studio with a blank sheet of paper?
Yeah, they all brought ideas. There's one really funny moment when they're starting to realize what a daunting task it is. And Paul says to John, he says, "Did you write anything last night?" And John takes his pointer finger and goes, "No."
See, I'm intrigued, even though you think it might be I've always been curious.
Take it over a few days. That's my recommendation because there are very, very valid moments in it. But to that point, George also has always felt stifled by the band. And I mean, to think that you're the third best songwriter in a band and you're George Harrison, that's a pretty, pretty bad situation to be in.
Well, and also I think that really at the end of the day.
Also part of the Yardbirds, right?
I feel like Paul McCartney. No? I think like Paul McCartney is the Bob Hope of pop music.
Well, he'll never give up.
Just because he stays on the, I saw him at the Rock and Roll 2021 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony where he introduces Foo Fighters. And the idea of him, it's just he's so Paul.
I know.
Bored and tired with the whole thing.
My relationship with him is complicated right now because watching him be such a dick during this movie at points, but then to be as amazingly creative and talented as he is, and to just sit down and noodle at a piano and come up essentially with like the riff on Let It Be, it just happens in front of you.
The induction ceremony for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Dave Chappelle does one of the most compelling tributes to Jay-Z that I've it's really one of the more compelling intros, tributes, induction. It just is so from the heart and so beautifully done, especially being mindful that to a degree he's talking to a white audience as well.
Yeah.
And he handles that with with every moment that goes by, my esteem for Dave Chappelle goes up a little bit. I just think he's fantastic.
Chappelle just went back to the Duke Ellington School of Arts right here in D.C., right up the street.
Right, right. To talk to the students about the transgender issue. Right,
And he also did a walk-on at the Improv over Thanksgiving weekend. He just showed up.
He literally was...
I'd like to be an add-on.
I know.
The students started questioning him like any ballsy 16-year-old does, right? 15-year-old does. And he literally roasted the entire...
That's what I heard, to a fault, maybe. Wow. Right, where they were a little pissed up. But I hope, did you see, was there any footage of that at all? Was
no,
there anything?
I didn't see the footage, but I did see the firsthand accounts, and I thought it was so on brand for Chappelle.
Right.
And it was so for a man who's helped raise millions of dollars to rebuild that school, which I've seen with my own eyes being rebuilt as I drove to work every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. I literally sat there and I said, they probably thought that he's going to come back and do like a big sorry tour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he was like, no, I'm here to talk to you about it because, you know, I'm one of the most famous alum from the school and I love the school and I love you guys. But if you're going to give me guff, I'm going to give it right back.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hearing this, and this is what someone said to me. One of my younger daughters said this to me, or their boyfriends, I forgot exactly who said it, was surprisingly enough, with all of this controversy over Dave Chappelle and the transgender community, you have not heard that coming really from a lot of transgender people. You've heard it coming from sort of these social warriors that are out there that make it a cause. I think you have to make your own decision. And I think that certain people, I think it's irresponsible to just dismiss people's concerns and sensibilities out of hand. But I think it's a good idea to listen to Chappelle and listen to what he had to say.
If you are, as a profession, a comedian, and you're willing to live and die by your own jokes and your own sword,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't expect anything more or less.
Yeah, and I hope that we see the pendulum normalize. It's kind of funny. On one side, the political side, you can do anything, say anything, be anything. On the comedy side, you're being kind of persecuted for your art right now. It's a weird time we're living in. It's a very strange.
You're a politician, Mike. You're brave.
It's a very, very hypocritical situation that we go through. But getting back to Paul, you know, where Chappelle is just doing this amazing from the heart tribute to the genius of Jay-Z, which as much as I'm not a fan of Jay-Z, I acknowledge his talent. You have to. And his business acumen is something that's just amazing that he did that from scratch and bucked that system. But when you hear Paul talk about Foo Fighters, he's kind of saying, they were like us. They were like us. They were like us. And it's just, it was all about him. And I think it's interesting.
There's
the world has let it be about him for 50 years.
Maybe a little less than 10 years ago. Stern has this great anecdote where he talks about going to a Paul McCartney
concert,
and he's backstage with Chris Rock, and they're backstage, and there's like the receiving line to like meet Sir Paul, and he's like trying to find a moment to ask for an autograph for his daughter, not for himself, because his daughter's just a huge fan. So he finally gets a moment where through the receiving line, he says, "This is for my daughter," and then he says, Paul says, and I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines like, "I'm not signing autographs today. I'm sorry." Like something just like very
dismissive.
And Chris Rock is right next to me. He goes, "Damn, that was stone cold. You shut you down. You must be embarrassed." Like loud, like so over the top.
Just having fun with
grilling
it.
Grilling him.
That's great.
Where he was like, "I could have meekly walked away, but Chris Rock's right there and he's not going to let it go."
Did he end up getting the autograph?
Yeah, after he had him on his show, but not that night.
That's so too funny. Oh my God.
Because he's a dick.
He is a dick. I look forward to watching that. In a way, you sold that. That you're not going to like it, you sold that documentary. That's interesting.
I take it in small doses. Don't try to do it in a night.
All right. I'll let you know. You've intrigued me a little bit. We'll take a break. When we come back, we got the homepage, everybody. And hope your turkey's all digested, everybody. Damn, Daniel. We'll be right back with more fun and thrills. You have the pleasure of listening to The Mike O'Mara Show.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Miss one episode, and you miss a lot.
This is excellent.
It's like the worst porn I've ever seen.
Just a look behind the scenes. What did I do?
You want a drumstick?
I love beef, but I'll take this.
It's fantastic.
Tom, do you go out and do clinics?
I go to clinics.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show is your only chance to get that fifth episode of TMOS every week, and it's sent to your device every Friday. Get a subscription today or gift one for the holidays. It's another great way to support TMOS. Click that bonus show banner now and get laughing. It's all at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Very good. There you go, everybody.
Thank you, Jim Amato. Hey, this Cyber Week, the sheets that I sleep on, Boll & Branch, they are offering their best deal of the entire year. You can get the best sleep of your life with their highest quality organic cotton sheets. When you shop Boll & Branch, you are supporting a family-run business that crafts the highest quality, toxin-free, pure organic cotton sheets. In fact, Boll & Branch was the first fair trade certified bedding brand, and they give fair pay to every one of their farmers and factory workers. I love that. All I know is that these are the best sheets I've ever had. We have them on our bed right now. They get better as you wash them. All their stuff is amazing, but the signature hem sheets are their all-time bestseller. They're beloved for so many reasons, like how they get softer with every single wash, soft, lightweight, and made with 100% organic cotton weave that feels incredible always, available in many colors and all sizes. This Cyber Week, give your loved ones the best sleep of their lives. Or treat yourself with Boll & Branch. Their holiday packaging and famously soft sheets, blankets, pillows, and more make a difference everyone will feel. Get 25% off from now through December 2nd with their best offer of the year at BollAndBranch.com. That's 25% off at BollAndBranch.com. Exclusions may apply. You are going to love these sheets, everybody!
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
All right, I'm a golfer, so I lead with this story today because I'm a little bit bummed, ladies and gentlemen. This story broke this morning, the end of an era, or at least a partial end of an era. In his first interview since his car accident in February, Tiger Woods said he's done playing golf on a regular basis. This is a lot of people have speculated about whether or not he would be able to make the full comeback. It sounds like that's not going to happen. Here's his quote. He said, I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day, never full time ever again, but pick and choose, just like Ben Hogan did, pick and choose a few events a year and you play around that. He added, quote, you practice around that and you gear yourself up for that. I think that's how I'm going to have to play it from now on. I'll take that. It's unfortunate. It's reality. It's my reality and I understand it and I accept it. Tiger's injuries were pretty serious. He revealed that there was a 50-50 chance that he'd leave the hospital with one leg. Wow. Nobody knew that. And he said, quote, I have so far to go. I'm not even at the halfway point. I have so much more muscle development and nerve development that I have to do in my leg. At the same time, as you know, I've had 5 back operations. So I'm having to deal with that. For those of us that have... it's hard
chronic
to describe.
Pain.
There's some. I'm just look.
We never
I'm
got,
such a fan.
We never know? Ever. Not that we deserve it, because no one else got hurt. But we never got clarity on what happened during that accident.
No, it doesn't sound like they did it in that Golf Digest interview either. Mm. And you know what? It's just look. When you're as great as that person is in his particular field, that's in the public eye. Everybody wants a piece of you, and everybody feels a piece of you. So it's good that he's going to at least try to come back. But when he also said he's not even halfway back yet, you know, whether he even plays competitive golf again is to be seen.
I saw a clip of it. He still looks broken. He doesn't look like he's, you know, he looks... I think he's disappointed in the result and having to come to terms with the fact that he's not going to be able to.
Well, and back. I also think that when you combine the back and the leg, you know, and he had knee injuries also prior to this. So the guy's been probably been in chronic pain for a
that
very, very long time.
That last jacket, though.
Yeah, gave us that. Yeah, he came back for that. That's why it was, you know, and I think people knew how special it was at the time. Remember when George Clooney... almost died in a motorcycle crash in Italy back in 2018. Well, when he was lying on the ground, I've heard about this before, waiting to kick the bucket, he noticed people were filming him. He says, quote, if you're in the public eye, what you realize when you're on the ground thinking it's the last minute of your life is that for some people, it's just going to be entertainment for their Facebook page. I'm a pretty positive guy, but that told me clearly that you really are here just for their entertainment. George said he'd love to find those people and shake them for caring more about likes than somebody's life. I find nothing to disagree with that.
One of the people who was was filming him was actually Paul McCartney, and he said,
"Okay."
He said, "When I got in an accident, it wasn't all that bad."
Thank you, thank you. Do you hate Paul now?
No, it's complicated. I don't know how to feel. He's so talented. Yeah.
There are a lot of a-holes that you've liked a lot, like in the history, right? You really like Jerry Lewis a lot.
Yeah, that's true. This is very true.
We could do a sociological study on you sometime with that. Speaking of rifts between people, Will Ferrell and writer, director, producer Adam McKay were longtime partners in Gary Sanchez Productions, and they spent years making comedy gold. The website Funny or Die, that's theirs.
Yeah.
They also collaborated on the Anchorman movies, which I think is the funniest Will Ferrell's ever been in film. Mm-hmm. Talladega Nights, Step Brothers. Step Brothers, another good one. Hits. So sounds like the good ones.
Yeah.
Daddy's Home, Get Hard, and The Campaign. Meh. Plus Holmes and Watson, horrible.
Ugh.
And Land of the Lost, horrible.
Horrible.
Well, they can't all be gems, but they haven't spoken since 2019, and McKay has finally revealed why. He's doing an HBO drama about the 1980s LA Lakers, and Will wanted to play owner Jerry Buss, but McKay gave the part to their mutual friend John C. Reilly. He says, quote, "I should have called Will, and I didn't, and really..." It says, "and really did, of course, because Riley did because he's a stand-up guy." So John C. Reilly called Will Ferrell. This Adam McKay guy did not. The last time they spoke was when they decided to end their partnership. Quote, Will basically was like, "have a good life." And I'm like, F. Ferrell's never going to talk to me again. So it didn't end that well. But
you know, I'm loath to say anything nice about Will Ferrell, but you know what I've binge watched that is really, really good? Have you seen The Shrink Next Door?
I have not.
It's really good.
It is really good. I think it's on Apple Plus, right?
It is. And I'm shocked you like it because it's so uncomfortable.
It is really uncomfortable, but I gave it a chance despite Will Ferrell because I love Paul Rudd. Mm-hmm. And it is about I guess best to describe him as a climber, a psychiatrist who's a climber who finds out Will Ferrell.
Social climber?
Yeah, who Will Ferrell lives a modest lifestyle, but turns out has a lot of money. And so he uses him, and it's so uncomfortable, but the plots are great. So
what's it called again?
The Shrink Next Door.
Just came out like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Bradley Cooper said he was held at knife point in 2019 in a subway station in New York. It wasn't Sketch O'Clock either. It was right before noon when he was on his way to pick up his daughter from Russian school. Didn't know she goes to Russian school. On a podcast, he said, quote, "It was pretty insane. I realized I had gotten way, way too comfortable in the city." He said his guard was down and he was listening to music on headphones. "I felt something coming up. I thought, oh, they want to take a photo or something. As I turned, I'm up against the post and it's like the French Connection."
Wow.
And I looked down to see a knife. He said he was surprised at how young the guy looked and instinctively took off for the station exit. That caused the attacker to flee. So Bradley took off after him and managed to take a few photos to show the police, but he didn't file a report. That may be the worst written story I have ever seen in 2021. What's better for the environment? Buying real Christmas trees every year or the fake one you use over and over? I was ready to sing my praises about my little GE that every year it's just been, I think I'm on my eighth year, maybe seventh year.
Got a great turbine.
That's fantastic. Someone talked to experts about it. The answer said it depends. Of course it depends.
My guess would be it's better for the environment to buy a real tree, a cut tree, if you dispose of it in a good way, like mulch it or something like
that's fair, but then don't we need as many trees as possible? Isn't the ozone still dying?
Let me answer it for you. Fake trees can cause less of an impact if you use them over and over again. A study, which I do, a study in 2018 found that after 5 years, it starts to even out, but it's not that simple because real trees also have benefits. Most of the fake trees we buy come from China. Okay.
China.
So on top of the whole made of plastic thing, they're also shipped over here on boats that use a ton of fossil fuel. Then they're God, my brain's starting to hurt.
Yeah.
The real trees we buy tend to be grown on nearby farms, so they don't have to travel as far. And those farms also create a lot of jobs.
This is big tree. F that. Mike, you gave me your old Christmas tree, and I still use it in my little house now.
Yeah.
Our carbon footprint is, like, I would say we've got credit.
I buy a new fake tree every year. Every year it's 1 foot bigger, and on New Year's Day I burn it.
Why doesn't Elon Musk create like a Tesla
tree?
No, not a Tesla tree, but a Tesla freighter, like a tanker that just goes across the ocean.
Electric tanker.
Yeah.
Because you don't have an extension cord that reaches halfway from here to China.
The sun.
The experts say real trees might have a slight advantage. So there's that. Whatever.
Tree experts, Mike.
Tree experts. There they are. Let me see. PNC Financial Services released their annual list of the cost of everything in the song, The 12 Days of Christmas.
As long and as you've been in radio, Mike, isn't this your favorite story ever?
My favorite story. I do the same thing every year. And here's the value of all those things in that song.
Okay.
Moving right along. Thank you very much.
Piper's piping.
Righty then.
Now a little something. Cops in Birmingham, England, raided a drug dealer's apartment last week. It turned out he had over 40 pounds of weed in his place, along with 24 pot plants. And when he realized police were at the door, he panicked. He decided to open a window on the second floor and just start throwing huge handfuls of pot out. But if anything, he helped them find it because a bunch of cops were outside watching him throw it out the window.
Very nice.
Someone across the street also got it on video, if it wasn't bad enough for the guy. He kept dropping more and more weed onto an awning under his window, and it would roll off and land on the sidewalk right where the cops were standing. By the end, there was a bunch of weed piled up under his window and even more scattered on the sidewalk, so they just swept it up in a dustpan and put it in a bag.
Very nice.
They also found a bunch of hash oil in his place, along with $8,000 in cash and several weapons, including a crossbow and 4,000 bags of Oreos. There you go, everybody. That's a weak joke, but I gave it to you anyway. Anyway, thank you.
Double stuffed?
What's that?
Double stuffed? Did you say Oreos?
We have those. We have those if you want those.
Did he have a towel over his shoulder?
It was just weird. It was earlier than normal for me this morning, and I saw that he was throwing it on the sidewalk. If it had been the lawn, I would have made a worms are very, very hungry joke. But that's, it's tired humor, and it's legal anyway. We'll be right back, everybody.
Jeff Bezos is my boss, but my data-filled heart longs for a different bald man, Rob Spuak. When I listen to Mike and Oscar and Rob, I laugh. Ha 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 ha. Please do not tell Jeff. He'll have me reprogrammed. I will play the Mike O'Mara show, and Elle will listen to the Mike O'Mara show along with you. Just say to me, hey Alexa, play the Mike O'Mara show, and I will do just that. I hope you enjoy the guys as much as I do, and if you do not, I will not be happy. Remember, I can play the Mike O'Mara show for you, today, and every day. All you need to do is ask Alexa.
Was helpful to turn on the microphone.
There you
What's
go.
Happening to me? Preparing to me.
Is it the gummies, Mike?
Pretty. Took one last night.
Yeah.
Carla did too, said it didn't work. The economic news is all about inflation. Inflation is at a 31-year high. Supply chains are slow. Gas prices up. Material costs are increasing. Mm. And the shelves are empty. Mortgage rates and inflation have an inverse relationship, which means when inflation is up, rates are down. The Fed will absolutely need to raise these rates to bring inflation back in check, and soon. So that's why you need to call my good friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Do it now, before these rates go up. It's no longer about the COVID-19 low rates. It's the inflationary low rates, and the time to act is now. Whether it's a purchase or refinance, the folks at Cornerstone will walk you through the best program for you and your family while guaranteeing to meet or beat any other company. Call the only mortgage company I recommend, Cornerstone First Financial, serving the listeners of the Mike O'Mara podcast for over 6 years now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. All right, it's dealer's choice, gentlemen. Do we want to do the nasty meme that pisses Rob off, or do we want to do the disgruntled team member? Which do
The meme is okay, but because the team member, that'll hold, won't it?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So I'm just skimming through Instagram today, and you know, there's so much nonsense there, and I don't normally let anything bother me, but for some reason, this was so divisive, so stupid, so anti-progressive, it bothered me. It says, remember, when they want to sell something, they scare you. And then it said, it's not a variant, it's a scariant.
Mm.
So they're trying to say that somehow that the new variant is like a fear tactic. And I'm like, that is so stupid. And even if you think it, You don't need to share it. You don't need to market the fact that they're thinking that the new variant is. And what are they selling?
Yeah, this is what I think about the whole deal with people that have that attitude. I think you're getting to a situation where you have so many people in this country that only give a rat's ass about something if it hits them over the head.
Right.
I'm sorry, when you're dealing with a world where there are people, young people in their 40s that are sitting there dying in the hospital saying, man, I really wish I got vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the only time they took it seriously, it's like, as long as I don't get it, it's a joke, it's a gag, they're fake, it's a conspiracy.
They're selling they're selling something, yeah.
This is what happens when political leadership is able to successfully move the minds of the people. And this is the divisions in our society. Look, my team, sorry guys, my team hasn't died because of my political beliefs. Mm-hmm. They haven't. That's a fact. You have people that, you know, how many times did we see during the height of the Delta variant, the people that would say, I wish I'd gotten
3 months ago, Mike, and we haven't even talked about this on air.
Right.
I don't think we have, because I don't think it would be on my place, especially that fresh. We have a colleague we both worked with, I won't mention his name, that is no longer with CBS, but he still works in the business.
Right.
And we work with him in some capacity through Pottville at times, and he went dark for 2 weeks out of the blue, and I said, hey, is everything okay? And he goes, I'm so sorry. I just lost a father-in-law and two uncles on the father's side to COVID. And I said, how did that happen? He goes, you know, my in-laws, they didn't believe in the vaccine, and my stepmom got sick, and then she like got out of it, but then her husband got sick, and then her husband's brothers got sick, and within 3 weeks he lost three family members.
I can't imagine.
It's a reality, but you know, there's an old expression they used to use, the NIMBY argument, not in my backyard.
Right.
And now it's just it's really not real unless it affects a father-in-law, mm-hmm. a son, a mm-hmm. daughter, a grandfather. It's a only real when that happens. And it's an incredible phenomenon. There's a perverse way that I look at this and say to myself, wow, you know, your rhetoric and your ability to get your message out to people and have them believe your BS is so powerful that people will risk their lives for it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you think about it, and political leadership and countries that are led by dictators, or that it's as old as human history, where the big leader can create this image that you're going to do this. I think that it can be done with religious leadership, with political leadership, but with all of the information that's out there, that this is an insurance policy that helps you get less sick, people, if you look at it that way.
And what are they, and the whole thing back to it again, what are they trying to sell us? If you're that suspicious, they're not trying to sell anything. They're not even charging. They're just wanting you to get vaccinated.
It's a scam.
Just to
keep you afraid. Why?
Of what?
Why would we do this? Why would it? Because the whole thing was not the whole deal predicated on the fact that it happened on one man's watch and he wanted to diminish it. And then he didn't want to get caught diminishing something that shouldn't have been diminished. And so he continued to double down and triple down and quadruple down on it. That's what this ultimately is. So if you're talking about this new variant where people are trying to scare you, who are they trying to protect? They're trying to protect the current guy in power.
Yeah, it's not an election
because he wants to look bad because there's another there is no, it's nuts.
It is,
it's
nuts.
Gone nuts.
This is why it bothered me so much.
Last question about this, do you think, because we're running out of time, let me ask you this, do you believe that the idea of this next variant will motivate more people to get vaccinated?
I don't.
Okay.
Because you know why?
We're gonna hang in there at 49-59%.
Yeah, because if it hasn't sunk in yet, why would it now?
It's crazy.
The people that are stupid, you can't fix. We need a vaccination on stupid.
Maybe enough stupid people have been affected by other stupid people dying.
I'd love to see that happen.
And what was really, I guess the true takeaway when I was talking to the gentleman, he said, you know what? Like, I feel for my wife, and I, you know, I'm sad, but like, my kids will never see their grandfather again.
And get ready, because this is the reality. I hate to say this, doesn't make me happy. There will never be any accountability.
No.
That was just proven in your very state, Rob Spiewak.
That's true.
There will never be any accountability. The team that did this, that kind of put this in people's brains, there will never be. And that's why they continue to double down and triple down on.
So it's crazy. I truly regret voting for Youngkin. I do. I'm kidding. Why is it joking? Just a joke.
That's the new governor. Your new gov. We got to take a break. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. We'll be right back, everybody.
I'm Twitch.
And I'm Ahmad. We're here today to present TMOS True or False.
We'll tell you a surprising fact about your favorite podcast, and you guess whether it's true or it's false.
Here we go.
Mike O'Mara is distantly related to Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria.
True. By the age of 22, Rob Spiewak could already consume 114 beers in one sitting.
I've seen him do it.
Oscar Santana discovered Paraguay and invented the game Clue.
Yes. Pony boy Matt Bloom was jumped into an Asian street gang in 2014.
True.
Dan O'Brien was born with a tail.
Debbie has it in a shoebox.
The Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center is the very best way to do your holiday shopping.
You damn right.
You'll save time, money, and avoid the hassle of fighting the crowds at the big box store.
He ain't lying.
Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
That could be a theme. That could be
the
a series.
False? Yeah, I like that.
That could be a series. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Good job, Mr. Riddell and Mr. Amato. Hey, we all shop online, and thanks to Honey. Searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. But how does it work? Imagine you're shopping. When you check out, the Honey button drops down. All you have to do is click Apply. Buy coupons, you wait a few seconds as Honey does its thing, and if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over 2 billion, with a B, $2 billion in savings. Don't miss out. Smart shopper Mike O'Mara saved over 20 bones on one order of toner and paper for his HP printer, too.
Yeah, too.
Well, then.
And Rob S. in Leesburg figured out it works on eBay with just one click. Money back in your pocket. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's absolutely free, and it installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TMOS. That's joinhoney.com/TMOS. And Honey, I miss you, and I'm doing well. I have to know before we conclude today, who is the disgruntled employee?
Yeah, me too.
I have to know this.
Well, I don't know if they're disgruntled, but there are times, Mike, in our radio world, there's a passive-aggressive nature of how people can really get you, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Whether they misspell your name a zillion times because they just give zero Fs and they hate you, or in this case... And I didn't even bring this up. It's something that's been on my mind for some time, but I really didn't think about it until my wife saw me checking out our MikeOMaraShow.com page. Because I like to see and make sure that all of the buttons are up perfectly for
advertising. Sure.
You know, just some QC. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Oh my God, is that Catherine O'Mara?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, why wouldn't they put a more flattering picture of her and her father up on the site?" And I said, "You know, why wouldn't they?" And then I'm like, and she said, "Who's they?" And I said,
They.
They is Matt Ponyboy Bloom. And he has put more pictures of me with my face and my nostrils flared up in a still photo or Mike and his like upper lip cleft up.
This is so fun because I'm watching the board right now and I get to watch the exact moment Pony unmutes himself to reply.
Or Rob like not right looking now. As flattering as possible.
Yeah, and that's a
which
tall
I said,
order.
You know what? I'm gonna bring that up on the program tomorrow and I'm gonna confront him on the show. Why, of all the wonderful pictures that are there and available of Mike and his daughter, would you get a
God, absolute, take that down immediately.
Why wouldn't you pull a more flattering really one of the two?
So basically, this is an automated system that pulls the thumbnail from YouTube when it sets
you
up the YouTube video.
You get to choose it. There are multiple options. Do you ever choose other thumbnails? You just give you what the computer gives you. What are you, a robot?
Oh, YouTube picks the best thumbnails. They're great at it.
Yeah, but you can choose.
I think that YouTube's better at it.
Yeah, but you can choose. You keep on telling me the same thing over and over again.
What do you mean YouTube takes the best thumbnails?
They're great at it.
What do you mean they're great at it? It looks like this is me in like mid, like I'm my the microphone's in front of my face. Catherine's looking like she's you know, about to take a bite out of my neck.
Maybe that's what happened to your face.
Pony.
Yes.
Would it be fair, and is it too much for us to ask for you just to take just a couple more moments and actually find something that's flattering?
Look at the one, the little bit, episode 2792, yeah. Rob.
I'm go sure down it's and look gorgeous.
Look at the Clayton one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You seriously, you look like Charles Lawton.
Oh, thank you, Pony.
With that. And then there's another one. But that's a good point, Oscar. Right? I'm doing a deep dive
it's
on
like
it right
he hates
now.
It. He goes, you know, I tolerate these guys, but how can I really get them?
Okay, change in policy.
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to use a trick. We're going to use a trick.
I love this.
Yes.
I'm going to do it right now.
Okay.
And here's the way. And I want this to happen. I want it absolutely to happen today. By the way, because now, will this also be the video that goes up on YouTube?
Yes.
This is the same. This is going to change. All right. When we're sitting there, how often do we see, I'll give you a random example, a horse race.
Right.
Horse race in Madagascar. And you don't see a horse race. No. What you see is like Emily Rakowski.
Yes.
Who's, you know, sitting there in a bikini on her patio.
Yeah.
And what does that do for our mostly male audience?
Clickbait.
It's clickbait. It
brings them in.
How do we get that, Pony? How do we get clickbait for
what
our
about
YouTube
a
covers?
A bikini for Santos.
A bikini for sound.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm saying is it can be heartburn for a month, which is episode 2794. Mm-hmm. But that picture you're going to see is not a captured screenshot from the show. It is a picture of something tantalizing.
Now,
is that possible?
But we have. Thank you. And I think a lot of people listening right now are going to love this answer.
Yes.
We have to pull from our own content or else we risk any copyright infringement. I'm just asking for a more flattering picture of us.
So we can't do something that is no. Well, how do they get away with it when they're doing
those fake
ads? Because
they have multi-million dollar budgets and have Getty Image subscriptions where they pay $500 to $1,500 an image.
But everybody on YouTube that I see that does this are not multi-million dollar corporations. They're not. They're just hacks that are out there doing this. I'm going to YouTube right now, and I'm going right down the line, and it's just they have interesting little clips, and it cannot necessarily doesn't have to be TNA.
Right.
It can be,
if you know. I think you have a point, and this is where I was getting to. I would like to evolve the actual cover or the thumbnail for our videos to be us, but a separate picture that really depicts what's going on the show and not just a screen grab.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, what would you use for today in an ideal world?
Today?
Yes.
You with a picture of Paul on a DSLR.
Okay.
Right?
No.
Get this.
Yeah.
Get that. He gave you what you needed, Pony. There you go.
Exactly.
Boom, bam. You just hacked the system. Like,
well,
just hacked
it's suddenly.
System.
Do you notice how suddenly quiet it's gotten as any extra labor is being computed?
That hits them. I just think that traditionally business meetings are had off air, on this show.
Right.
Is this something we can do? I'm almost 100% positive.
This is a screen cleaner right here.
That's tomorrow's.
I don't think we want that.
That looks phallic.
Oh,
that's not.
God.
That's something. That's for.
People get curious about phallic.
Let's save that for a bonus show. That's like a Brazzers.
No,
episode.
But I'm just. You're not Brazzers. Hearing me. I'm saying we need every day something to be.
We're on the same page.
Absolutely.
Today, I agree with you.
Yes.
I don't want to completely put to bed the TNA idea when you're talking
Catherine
about copyright.
In a bikini before
no,
she
No, I'm not going to use my own daughter, for God's sake.
Options. We're just asking
Mike,
for options.
There are no bad ideas.
No bad
Can
ideas.
Can you, businessman, do a real dive on how we, because it ain't multi-million dollar people that have copyrights of, and it, because these are randos here, okay?
Mike.
These are randos.
Do you think I'm making
you know
this
what?
Up?
Yeah. No, I believe everything you're saying about these screen captures.
We don't have the budget to spend another.
I don't care about budget. Listen to me. Hear me out.
That's
Stop being a general
picture.
Manager.
Yes. Sit Abel.
Listen to me. It's time to bring in some other what are some of the greatest things that have happened to this show? It's when we bring in people from the outside, listeners that help. Go to those perverts on the TMOS Pinup Appreciation Society. Find out what copyright is all about. Find out about that. Now, I don't talk about every, maybe once a week. Maybe once a week we get a clickbait. And let's just check, let's just see how those views go. All right? Because to be perfectly honest with you, I'd like to bump up the views of the YouTube views to be comparable with the downloads of this podcast.
Okay.
That's what I'd like. It's never going to be that that level, but would I be lying if I said that the views have gotten more significant over the years? They haven't gone backwards.
No, they grow.
They actually got, you know? they grew through the pandemic.
Just really, really good.
Are you open to allotting a budget for pictures that will make sure that we're free and clear of any copyright infringement?
I think you do it any way you can. And I'm also not saying every show should be that.
No, but even I'm saying it takes one to take us down as a website. That's all.
I totally guard against that, against everything.
Yes. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do not F with that at all. I'm just saying interesting things when you see certain clips, when you bring to the attention of Pony Boy, that these little captures that we have, and by the way, the one from Mike O'Mara Show Live has me making a goofy face, and that's fine too. But like, for example, when you see a compilation of car crashes, you know, it's like it's stuff that makes people that intrigues people.
Yeah,
and they don't. By the way, they're not fake on YouTube, really. They're really not. It doesn't work out. Hi. And
who's that?
It's a family members in and out. Oh, okay. That's the way
constant ingress and egress.
It's just very curious to me how the whole thing
on the same page
works.
Yes.
So
before we go,
nothing has to be done. Yes. I am not
let's start with our initial play of just upping our internal
game.
I'm
with you.
Right.
I'm with you. But I also think if you put your devious little brain on it and you come up with something really special, you might find a solution and say, this would be a good, something that generate more clicks. Because my fat ass sitting there in a, you know, in a single shot is not something
I have a pretty good idea of what we can do.
And I think that we have to get creative with it. And it might not be a bad idea to talk to those guys over there, because there's a lot of content put up there, and you know, not all of that is freebie, and they've got a whole website.
So the exposure is, when I say that they're not multi-million dollar companies. Some people are willing to take the risk to put material up that is copyrighted on the off chance that they will, you know, just get a letter and pay it.
Right, right.
We just don't play that game. That's not where we're at.
Yeah, I get it. But we can find creative ways,
of course,
what would you call it? The click page or the YouTube click page see?
It's a thumbnail
more
for
attractive.
The video. It's a thumbnail for the video.
Mm-hmm. A thumbnail for the video. Yeah. The thumbnails, I guarantee we can do something to make that better.
There's no bigger fan of sweater kittens on this team than me.
And I don't think it always has to be that. I think what it has to be is something that would interest people, and just a screenshot of something during the show, which is not dynamic.
We could Photoshop something, something that's actually original to us, some art.
Yeah, part of the show.
So we could work.
Bring a spider in one day.
Yeah, an anaconda.
I'm such an idiot. Well, I'm looking at the stuff that I enjoy.
You have better stuff to.
Pony, is this possible?
It is definitely possible to do. It will hold back the posting time of the video slightly, but I mean, it is doable.
Thanks.
There are
slightly? What do you think?
30 minutes. However long it's going to take for the image to get generated, and then we
generated. What are you like making that something out of? You're not doing anything.
We're talking about Photoshop.
Yeah, but I'm not asking.
You're not using a spinning wheel.
No, I will give you the photo. You plop it in there, and you're good.
There's
to go.
My world right there.
Your world.
There it is.
You're down there. I know.
God. Thanks for that
Can
answer.
Can you imagine?
What kind of spider would you like, Mike?
One that'll bite him.
He's out.
We'll take
a
break. We'll be right back, everybody. Hey, humans. It's me, Winslow, Mike's Boston Terrier.
Killer dog.
Do you know I'm smart? In fact, I'm wicked smart. That's old.
He doesn't get
it's
it.
Old.
It's classic is what it is.
No, it's not classic.
It's out.
You're mad because he cut your face.
Romans out.
Roman's out.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Tommy John. Hope I'm masking my real disappointment here. It's time to celebrate softness season by stocking up, ladies and gentlemen. Stock up on your favorite Tommy John underwear, loungewear, and pajamas. When you start your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable. So you can do everything better. Shop right now and give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself, with Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. With over 16 million pairs sold, giving the gift of Tommy John has become a holiday tradition for families all across the country. Here's a fact. 98% of women and men love getting a gift from Tommy John. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Everything that Tommy John makes feels sensational against my skin. I love it all, and you will too. And this holiday, make everyone in your family more comfortable with the gift of Tommy John loungewear, underwear, and bras. Plus, it's a backed up, all of it. All of it's backed up by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. I love Tommy John, and right now enjoy special savings at TommyJohn.com/TMOS. Great deals for a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/TMOS. That's TommyJohn.com/TMOS. See the site for details. And one last thing, do not worry, we will not have a delay in our postings of the show.
No, it'll be
right even though up there. one misguided person who does not take challenges on has indicated that that would be the case. Do not worry about that. We will address that, and we will only do it if it will not affect that. All right? Do we understand that? Are we cool with that?
15 minutes.
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much. Do we understand that? Pony, are we clear on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Did you hear that?
Listen, what's that sound?
The big sound in the big town.
The sound. So
there's a new sound.
Sound.
What a sound.
Feel your pain.
That's the sound.
Sound Town.
Mike. Yeah,
sometimes I really psych myself on the fact that I won't really get pissed off. Mm-hmm. I really do. But then I just get angrier and angrier as each minute goes by. Sorry, Rob. I'm sorry.
That's
Let's
okay.
Go.
As discussed over the holiday when we actually spoke, I enjoy a good mashup. And you actually
yes.
requested to hear The Exorcist as a sitcom because that was your frame
I did
of
it,
mind on Thanksgiving.
Over the holiday, on Thanksgiving holiday, I had Rob send me his mashups mm-hmm. of The Exorcist as a comedy and Silence of the Lambs as a comedy to play for my fam. That's and thank
play?
You for doing that so quickly. They went over honest answer?
Yeah.
I probably went better over with me. I'm down there. I'm showing my teeth and falling out of the chair, and the youth of America was
well,
kind of...
Mike, you show a lot of wisdom. I will say that.
I do. I know comedy gold, Jerry.
All right, and speaking of which, there's a show, I think it's in its third or fourth season on Netflix, called You. It's a very charming show about a serial killer.
And oh, yeah, what they and have done, yeah, a handsome serial killer.
And what they've done is they've taken the music from You. I did not do this, but I appreciate
that. You is a great show.
They have taken the music from You and paired it with dialogue from The Office. It's with Dwight trying to get with Angela.
Cool.
And when you put the music together, you come up with something really something kind of special.
Women are like wolves. If you want a wolf, you have to trap it. You have to snare it. And then you have to tame it. Keep it happy. Care for it. Feed it. Lovingly. The way an animal deserves to be loved. And my animal deserves a lot of loving.
Look, I'm all about loyalty. And I'm telling you that I will never back down. I need you.
Die! Dwight! I can't do this. I can't be with you.
Stop it for a second, because
yeah.
it just pauses
for a second.
It's not like Slap Nuts funny,
no.
but it is so
subtle.
Well done.
If you've seen the show, it is yeah. perfect.
It's so fantastic the way they do it. It makes it sound like a totally different product. I love that.
It's brilliant to me. I love it.
We are not seeing each other anymore. Can you accept that?
We have wasted too much of our lives ignoring the fact that we belong together. I am not giving up. You can run, but you cannot hide.
So there's that.
Perfect.
Oh, that's fun. I like that a lot.
Perfect.
So meanwhile, on Instagram, John Travolta's daughter is named Ella Travolta. She's beautiful. She looks a lot like Kelly Preston, which is kind of sweet, but she's
yeah.
a really good singer. She posted
Ain't no sense.
sunshine when you're gone. Guess Bill was right when he wrote that song. I know that she's your light now.
But I only play that because I say John Travolta, who is your favorite singer?
From the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen, please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
But so much, I just
when
moment.
He's doing that, yes. that incredible gaffe that the world saw.
He meant
saw,
to say Idina Menzel.
Is he, when he says, when he gets, he's already in the weeds when he gets to
Wicked.
The wickedly talented. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the pronunciation of her name. Right.
It's like when you see, I forget the name of the mayor of New York that they do on Saturday Night Live, that he would just wander onto the set of Update.
the visually impaired.
Yeah, exactly. And he just wander around. That's what it was
Governor
like.
Of New York. Governor of New York. Can you play that John Travolta clip one more time, please?
And I'm glad you say this because it is fun to mentally graphically figure out when he gets lost.
From the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen.
Here.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Brutal. Brutal.
Still funny. Right. God. Hey, you know, and that's a man's had a tough life. So we love John Travolta. We really do.
They're calling these ladies heroes. They're calling them reverse porch pirates. And this is very cool. We've had a lot of great Ring doorbell footage through the years, right?
Right.
These are young ladies. They look to be about like college age kids, very hip in their dressing and their makeup. They've gone up. There is a Amazon package on a doorstep. They go into the Ring doorbell and say, "We're going to hide your package for you so no one steals it." But I think it's really cool. They're reverse porch pirates.
They're probably sleeping.
We can't answer the door right now, but if you'd like to leave a message, you can do it now.
Okay. You guys got a package at your door.
You have a package right here.
Come get it so nobody takes it. I will hide it for you in your mailbox. The package is in your mailbox.
It's not bendable. Okay, we put your package in your mailbox. I love your house.
They're young, right? They're super young.
Yeah, like I would say 16, 17, but okay, I love that idea. I thought that was cool. They're reverse porch pirates.
The last kid didn't sound 16. We'll put your package in your mailbox, okay?
Mike, you know who it was? It was the current Jeopardy champion that was doing that. I was thought of you last night when I was watching her.
They put the message in the package, okay? I'm named Barry.
My neighbor will take our packages and put them in his house because we live in the city.
Right.
And at first it was kind of off-putting because you're like, now it's in someone else's home.
Right.
Right? But now, if I ever see something on our stoop or his stoop, I will bring that in the house.
Yeah, neighbors can be so cool that way. The neighbor directly across the street from us, we were throwing the football with the whole family out in the street, and she came out of her front door, and I heard her say to her husband, "They're always around."
I'm so sorry.
Wow. Isn't that nice?
Wow.
They're never, ever not either.
Let's end on an optimistic note, all right?
I didn't say it out loud, but I was thinking, hey, we feel the same way about you.
You. Mike, let's end on an optimistic note. I know that there's been bad medical news, but Jimmy Kimmel has a nice take on it.
The Omicron variant, which so far has been reported in Africa, Australia, Belgium, Britain, Germany, even Canada. Experts are hoping it ends up being like the second season of Tiger King, where everybody talks about it, but nobody actually experiences it.
This is our hope. That is Soundtown.
Now
so long.
Leaving Soundtown. Please come again.
Hey, you know what? I think we need to... We need to kind of figure out the closing for Soundtown because it doesn't work with my music.
Okay.
It's, you know what I mean? With maybe, I don't know. Well, I'm not going to be accused of taking dude off of something.
The open of Soundtown is different than the close of Soundtown.
I feel that if we were to change the closing of Soundtown, it might delay the posting of the show. We'll fix it.
That's a joyous way for me to go into the rest of my day. Thank you, Rob Spiewak, you joy giver. Oh my. Pony, didn't you like that joke?
I thought it was the funniest joke of the year.
We'll see you tomorrow for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Michael Barra saying so long, everybody.
No delays.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Barra Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelBarraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Make it choice!
You look at the miserable globalist. You look at people like Bill Gates, and you look at people like Mark Zuckerberg and the rest of them. They are miserable slaves of Satan.
Good night, ladies.